We are continuing our sermon series on the I Am sayings of Jesus during this Advent season, and we've talked about several things already. Jesus has said to us that he is, and this morning we listen as Jesus says he is the bread of life and also joy. I invite you to hear our text this morning. You can follow along in your Bibles today in the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 25 and following. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's also speaking to those who have gathered because he has fed them. And now we hear what happens as Jesus shares and teaches those gathered around him. John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "Well, what must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. So today we hear Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." Now we often think about this statement when we share communion together, but what does it mean for us during the season of Advent? And how does Jesus as bread connect with joy? As human beings, we want to fill up things that are empty. When there's an empty place in our house, we usually want to buy something to fill up that empty space. When our refrigerators are empty or the pantry shelves don't have much on them, we go to the store to buy food to fill them up. When our gas tanks are low, we go to buy gas to fill up the gas tank. When our bank accounts are low, we work harder or longer so we make more money to fill up that which is empty. When we are hungry, we eat to fill up our stomachs. Emptiness is awkward. It is uncomfortable. We fill up the empty things in our lives because we don't like void. We don't like a vacuum. We don't like emptiness. The same is true for us emotionally and spiritually. We fill up in our lives places where we feel we are lacking, places that feel to us empty. So we do things to fill up these voids in our emotional and spiritual lives. We do good things. Sometimes we do bad and or harmful things to fill up that which feels lacking. We don't want emptiness. We don't want void. We don't want to be lacking in our lives. In part, this is what Jesus is talking about in our text for today. The people have been looking for him, and when they finally find him on the other side of the lake, the text says, they say, "Hey, Jesus, we've been looking for you. Where have you been?" He says, "I know. But the only reason you are looking for me is because I fed you. In other words, Jesus is saying, your stomachs were empty. I gave you food. You filled your stomachs that pleased you, so you are looking for me, so I will continue to fill that emptiness in your life, in your body. But, Jesus says, you are looking for the wrong things. Do not work for food that will spoil. Do not put your energy and effort into that which is temporary. Instead, seek that which is eternal, that which will never, ever spoil. In other words, Jesus says, you try to fill your life with things that are temporary. You spend all of your effort and time trying to cram things into your life that you think will be satisfying and fulfilling, but you know that they are not. So you are constantly in this cycle of seeking that which you can put in so that it will fill you, but it never satisfies. It never fulfills. What fills your life this Advent season? What are you using? What are you doing to try to fill the voids in your life? What are you cramming into your life, hoping that it will satisfy you? Max Lucado writes, you know, just because it's Christmas time doesn't mean we don't hurt. Just as because it's Advent doesn't mean that things are exactly the way we want them to be. Maybe it's an old wound. A parent has abused you. A teacher slighted you. A coach never played you. A spouse betrayed you. And you remain angry to this day. Or maybe the wound is fresh. A friend who owes you money just bought a new car. The boss who promised you the promotion gave it to someone else. A loved one forgets a special occasion in your life. You're hurt, devastated even. Part of you is broken and part of you is bitter. Part of you wants to cry and part of you wants to fight. There is fire in your heart. It burns with hurt and with anger. So here's your decision. Do you put out the fire or do you heat it up? Do you get over the situation or do you try to get even? Do you release the pain and heartache or do you hold on to it and let it build and grow? Without forgiveness, bitterness is all that's left. And here's the thing. Bitterness leaves no space, no room for joy. Bitterness leaves no space in the heart, in the soul for joy. See, we need to create space. We need a void and emptiness in our spiritual lives so that God's joy can fill it up, just like the innkeeper needed to create space for Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. We need to create space in our lives for God's joy. Instead of seeking all of the things that are temporary pleasures in life, we need to pause, Jesus says, to create space and room in our lives for the permanent joy of God. One person has written, when we focus on chasing our wants, our level of happiness actually drops. The more we focus on what we don't have, the more deprived we feel. After all, inherent in the meaning of wanting is not having. And you cannot be fulfilled. You cannot feel or experience fulfillment while you focus on that which you lack. So here's the antidote. If you want to have joy, be grateful for what you have. The key to joy is the fulfillment of our needs, not our wants. That's what gives us God's joy. Last night I was in the car driving home from working out, and I had the radio on, and an old song that I hadn't heard in years came on. It was Desperado by the Eagles. And I always loved that song, and I listened to it again, afresh and anew, and there was a line that just stood out to me last night. The line says, "Seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones you can't get." Wanting that which we lack, it equals missing joy. Well, here's what Jesus was trying to say about being the bread of life. As people of faith, we are to distinguish pleasure from real joy. In other words, many things in life give us temporary, fleeting satisfaction and pleasure, but they don't add up to a joyful life. Their thrills pass quickly, and sometimes they leave behind them a trail of remorse and even regret. Some of the pleasures are like lightning flashes, strong and bright, but they're gone as quick as they come. Where God's joy, well, it's like the sunshine. In John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, Jesus taught, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then he says, "These things I have spoken to you." Why? "So that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." One person has described Jesus' words in this passage of Scripture by saying this: it's like Jesus is saying to us, "This is my joy in you. Don't you realize," Jesus says, "I was already rejoicing before it even occurred to you. Joy, don't you realize that my joy has come to you? Joy is not an emotional response to the situation. I am not an emotion. I am spirit. Joy is the fruit of my spirit in your life. I don't want to see that joy suffocated by problems and difficulties. I never take my joy away from you. It is always with you and can always be expressed in your life. Nothing in this world can take away God's joy." In the second century, a martyr was brought before a king. The king wanted this man to recant his faith, to give up his faith in Christ, but the man adamantly refused. The king said, "If you don't recant your faith, I will banish you." The man smiled and answered, "You, O king, cannot banish me from Christ. He will never leave me nor forsake me." The king got angry and said, "Well, I'll confiscate all your property. I'll take everything that you have from you." And the man replied, "King, my treasures are laid up on high. You have no access to my treasures." The king became furious and he said, "Then I will kill you." But the man answered, "King, I have been dead for 40 years. I have been dead with Christ, dead to this world. My life is in Christ, and you cannot touch it." What a joyful way to live. Persecutions, hardships, difficulties, troubles, let them come. Let them come. Jesus says we will have trouble in this world. Let them come, for nothing can take away our joy in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul meant when he wrote, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God," in Romans. Nothing can separate us. You see, happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes in spite of happenings. Happiness is the world's word. Joy is the Christian's word. Happiness is the result of good things happening to you in life. Joy has its springs deep down inside, not connected with events or circumstances. This joy is an inner calm produced by confidence in God. It is untouched by outward happenings, and it is not diminished by pain or sorrow. You remember in Philippians that great line that Paul writes that so many of us turn to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a powerful, wonderful verse. But do you remember the context of that verse? Do you remember what he says right before that verse? It really helps us understand what he's saying. Listen, starting in verse 11, the two verses preceding that wonderful, powerful verse. Here's what Paul says, starting in verse 11. I'm not saying this, he says, because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, joyful, whatever the circumstances. Verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Joyful, my word, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's joy. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation, whether we are in need or have plenty, I can do all things through Christ because he is the one who strengthens me in every situation. In other words, he is the one who gives me what I need. He is the bread of life. He is my joy. Robert Louis Stevenson writes, to miss the joy is to miss all. Paul Tillich, wonderful theologian, in his book, The Meaning of Joy, says this, where there is joy, there is fulfillment. Where there is fulfillment, there is joy. Jesus is the bread of life. That means that in Christ, all our desires are at rest in him. As Augustine said, the joy of the blessed is full to perfection, indeed over full, since through faith in Christ, we will obtain more than we were ever even capable of desiring. This morning, hear the good news. Receive God's joy. For Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. And that, my friends, is the joy of Christmas. Let us pray. Oh, good and gracious God, as we continue to listen, as Jesus teaches us who he is, today we give you thanks that as the bread of life, Jesus is our source for all joy. Lord, during the good and the bad experiences of this world, give us that faith, confidence, and assurance. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.